But right now, before we get into the message, I just want to take a minute to honor those who have passed on, who have given their life for this country. So I'm going to ask us to stand, and we have a video that we are going to play.
We're going to continue in this somber moment, but then we're going to move on from it. I would ask that you bow your head, and I would ask that you would also join me in praying for victory. I would ask that you also join me in condemning fear. I would ask that you join me in making Americans bold and courageous again. I would ask that you put away not being asked what you've been designed to do. Doesn't even matter if it's a correct decision or if you have all of the facts. It's that maybe God is just wanting you to move. Maybe that's all you have to do is move and then get out of the way. Because we are better out of His way. We are better out of our way and in His will. Now, I didn't know this was going to happen after TAPS. But that doesn't mean that victory hasn't already been won for us, and that we can act, and that we can move in His victory, and that we can claim things that we're allowed to claim because He's a good, good Father. Simply doing what we're designed to do and getting out of the way. That's what these folks did. If you're expecting a prayer of protection, that's not going to happen this morning. We're going to pray for protection for our enemies because they're the ones that need to be scared. They're the ones that need to be gripped by fear because these men and women that represent our country, they've already claimed that victory. Some of them, not all of them. We're going to pray for those other folks too, right? But that's what we're going to do this morning, and it's a little different. It's a little different. It's not better or worse. But at the very end here, we're going to give glory to our good, good Father, who maybe has been waiting on some of us to just do something and get out of the way. Our Heavenly Father, our gracious, victorious Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning in humility. We come to You this morning in victory, not by ways of indirect fire and a mighty infantry and a mighty armor and a mighty air force, which we do have, that You've allowed us to have, but by the one act that You did and You allowed Your Son to do, and He agreed to do it. He moved and then got out of the way. That one act that allows us to ride Your coattails into victory. Not on some occasions, but on all occasions, that we're allowed to be bold and courageous and go in and claim that victory for You, move and get out of the way and let You do what You're supposed to do, our Heavenly Father. That we can claim that victory and then we can move on to the next and to the next and to the next, giving You the glory that You rightly deserve. It's not about us, Lord. We understand that. We understand that it's up to us to move. But Lord, thank You for allowing us to be put in those situations, even though we don't have all of the facts, even though we don't have all of the information, Lord, that we have men and women that will move on our behalf. We have men and women that will stand with us shoulder to shoulder to face the giants, to face the enemy, And Lord, it's hard to do, but I'm going to do it. But I want to pray for our enemy. Because I know how they have felt, and I don't ever want to feel like that again. But our Heavenly Father, we claim the victory against those enemies in our lives, in our domestic borders, overseas. We claim those victories, and we're allowed to do that. And thank you for allowing us to do that. Lord, thank you for the action. Thank you for your perfect plan and your perfect timing, which makes up for our fear and our perceived inabilities. But Lord, we are perfect through you, and we are strong in our weakness with you there. Lord, we thank you for our country and those men and women that are in the military, that are first responders, that are praying for those military members and first responders. And we claim those victories. And if there are any tears, just know they're tears of victory and that they're tears of joy. And we will give you all the glory and the credit that you deserve. And Lord, thank you for allowing us to honor you in that way. In a victorious prayer, amen.
If you don't know who that is, you don't know who that is. That's QB. That is Pastor Sanford's son-in-law, and we're delighted to have him. So y'all got a little taste of what we get to experience at Men's Advance, which, by the way, is coming up in the fall. And so make sure that you gentlemen in the house get signed on to that and become a part of that. Let's dive into the Word this morning. The message that I have for you this morning, I've titled, The Gift Giver. The Gift Giver. It's not Christmas yet, but God wants to give us gifts. God has given us gifts. And he provides gifts through the Holy Spirit to each of us. I want to start out, though, by looking at the book of Galatians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. It says, think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. They have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father set. And that's the way it was with us before Christ came. We were like children. We were slaves to the basic spiritual principles of this world. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. The evidence that you and I are children of God says right here, because we are his children, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit within us is the evidence that allows us to know that we belong to Jesus, that we are children of our Heavenly Father. There is a security that comes. There is a sense of belonging that comes when the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts. It is the evidence within us, the confirmation within us that we belong to him. And it gives us the ability to cry out, Abba, Father. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 14, it says, through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. We who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. The first scripture that we read talks about us being heirs. Heirs. That means we can receive the inheritance. We can receive the inheritance because of the Holy Spirit. And here it says, we have access. We receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. We have access to all of the blessings that God promised Abraham by the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit, and therefore we have access to all of the promises that God gave Abraham. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 through 22, it says, "It is God who enables us, along with you, to stand firm for Christ. He has commissioned us, and he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything he has promised to us." What an amazing way to put it. The Holy Spirit is the first installment of everything that God has promised us. It is like the guarantee that you will receive the promised blessings of the Father. For me, that's just that's mind-blowing. That's absolutely amazing, because that means that I have access to everything that God has prepared for us through the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 through 16 says, "No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. No one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ." For me, I'm just overwhelmed by these scriptures. We have the mind of Christ. The Holy Spirit placed within us is the Spirit of God. And it says, who can know what is in the mind except for that individual's spirit? So nobody else knows what I'm thinking about except me. That's what it means. Nobody knows what I'm thinking about except me. And nobody knows what God's thinking except God, the Spirit of God. And then God takes and places his Spirit in you and I. And so that means that we have the mind of Christ. We know what he's thinking. We know all of the things that are happening in his mind. We have direct access to him, to his knowledge, to his wisdom, to his character, to his greatness, to his grace, to his ability, to everything that he is, to his glory. We have access to that through the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, that's awesome. I sometimes wish that the Lord would supernaturally impart to me what women think. But then there was a proverb that said, "He who knows understands a woman is himself a woman," or something like that. I don't understand that exactly, but it's kind of along those lines. But guess what? God knows what we need, and he has all understanding and all knowledge. And so he places the Holy Spirit within us so he can help us, guys. He can help us to get out of trouble. I should not have said that, because now I'm in trouble, but that's okay. That's okay. I'll deal with that later. The Holy Spirit within us reveals to us the thoughts of God. I'm thinking of the scripture that says, he who lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. I'm thinking of the scripture that says, let this same mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. I'm thinking about the scripture that says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I have a lot of scripture here, by the way, and those weren't in there. But I want us to take a moment and just pause here and think about this. God is saying, the way that you are able to once again have access, the way that you are able to once again have complete access to all that belongs to you is through the Holy Spirit. With that in mind, who wouldn't want the Holy Spirit? Who wouldn't be hungry and thirsty for the Holy Spirit? Because I guarantee you there's not a person in this room today that would say, I've got it all together. I've got everything figured out. Everything is in line. It's all okay. I don't need anything. In fact, the endless pursuit of our lives is that you and I find ourselves striving for something more, striving for the next thing, striving for what we don't have, looking and saving up and planning and dreaming for the things that we have not yet achieved. There is this constant pursuit of something greater. But we are doing it through human means. And many times, as we talked about last week, at the end of our lives, we get there and we say, what did I get? It's meaningless. It has no satisfaction. There is no peace that I have found. There is no comfort that I have found. I have not been able to receive what I was looking for. And yet here is God the Father, the one who created all heaven and all earth, created you and I, and he is saying, I am giving you a gift. I'm giving you a gift of my Holy Spirit. I am placing my Holy Spirit within you. It is the key to accessing all that I am. And I wish that I had the time to go into depth on this, but I encourage you to come to the class Wednesday night, because Sanford and I have talked about this, and he's going to be going into a deeper depth on this that we are talking about, which is how we have access directly to the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God has access directly to our spirit, and how that is able to transform us, and how it is able to empower us to do things that we couldn't otherwise do, say things that we couldn't otherwise say. Because, see, the problem that we have is that our minds get in the way. That's the truth. The problem that we have is we analyze everything. We overthink everything. We have to figure it out. We have to know, where is this going? How is it going to work? What are we going to do? Let me see the pros and the cons. Let me see the all of the things that could happen. Let me see everything that let me have all of the analytics. Let me look through all of this, and let me make sure that there's a cost analysis here and that there is no risk involved. We want to know how to minimize risks, right? And some of us were saying, what are you talking about? I just kind of... And if it happens, and great. Well, guess what? That's a sermon for another day. But isn't it awesome? Isn't it just such a wonderful thing to know that God says, I'm giving you my Holy Spirit. I am literally placing access to my mind within you. What is it that you need to know? What is it that you have need of in your life? Why don't we access the Spirit more? Why don't we seek the Holy Spirit more? What is it that we're afraid of? Why is this something that to us we are fearful of? Is it that we want to be in control? Is it that we are afraid that this Spirit, this Holy Spirit, will make us do things that are embarrassing? That people may look at us weird? I've got news for you. Jesus said very clearly, if they hated me, they'll hate you. If they talk bad about me, they're going to talk bad about you. He said, but make sure that when they're talking bad about you, it's for the right reason. He said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For great is your reward in heaven. Great is your reward in heaven. We're going to skip a couple of scriptures that I have here, and we're going to go to Romans chapter 8, verse 5 through 17. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's law, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if, through the power of the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father, for the Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. What does God not have? What does God not have that you need? Is there anything that you can think of that you could possibly need that God is not able to provide for you? Honestly, is there anything? And yet He says that by placing His Holy Spirit within you, it gives you access to all that He is. It makes you an heir. It allows you to have everything that He has at your disposal. The interesting thing is that He doesn't want you to have it just so that you have it. And see, this is the problem that we run into. He doesn't want us to have the Holy Spirit just so we can say we have the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want us to have power just so we can say we have power. He doesn't want us to be magicians. He doesn't want us to be diviners. He's not looking for people to do things simply to demonstrate how holy, how righteous, how amazing they are, or how powerful they are. He is looking for people that are completely surrendered, completely submitted to his will. He is looking for individuals who would say, "Here I am. Use me for your honor and for your glory." God is looking for those of us who will stand in the gap, who will look at the world around us, and just as David said when he was standing in the camp of Israel and the Philistine Goliath was mocking them, and something within him boiled up and he said, "Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Isn't there anyone in all of Israel that will not stand up and will put this giant in its place? Is God not big enough? Is the God that we serve not great enough?" God is looking for individuals who will allow his presence to so consume them that they will be used by him to bring heaven to earth. That is why he said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And then what did he do? He went out and did it. Did he not? Did he not go and heal the sick? Did he not go and cast out demons? Did he not go and raise the dead? He did all of those things, right? And then what does he say? He said, "Because I go away, I am sending the Holy Spirit, and it's imperative that I do so because the Holy Spirit comes into your life, these things that I have done and greater things shall you do." These things that I have done and greater things shall you do. But is it so that we can say, "Well, I've raised the dead"? Or "Demons are scared of me"? No. It is because there is a lost and hurting world all around us. There are people that are suffering, that are in pain, that need Jesus. The writer of Luke catches this moment so beautifully whenever he wrote the book of Acts, because he's also the book of Acts. The writer of Luke happens to be Luke. The writer of Acts happens to be Luke. When he wrote the book of Acts, chapter 1, he captured this very beautifully. He said, Jesus was there, and he said, "But you will receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." My witnesses. You will be able to testify of who I am because you will have firsthand knowledge. How can you and I have firsthand knowledge of what happened over 2,000 years ago? If you skip to Revelation, the book of Revelation, John the Divine, John the Apostle is writing, and he sees Satan. And he sees him cast down. And he sees, it says, "And they that see him will be amazed." They're going to be shocked. They're going to be in awe. Is this the person? Is this the one that was the accuser? Is this the one that did all of the things? Really? Him? But it says, "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You go back and you look at Jesus' disciples, and there was this guy that we all like to think about because he was just a character, okay, out of a bunch of characters. But he was a character, and he was bold. He would say things, and you would look and you go, what? It was Peter, right? Peter. He would say things, and it doesn't matter if everybody denies you. I'm with you all the way. Let me go. I'll take my sword and I'll fight with you. And he sees these people that Jesus, there were these people that were preaching and they were winning people, but they weren't followers of you. They weren't here with you. Should we call fire down from heaven on them? I mean, this is a bold guy. He's zealous. He's got, you know, that fiery kind of attitude. He's ready to fight. He's always looking for somebody. He's got a chip on his shoulder. He's looking for somebody else that just would look at him the wrong way. You know? And then here comes the moment when Jesus was crucified. And he ran and hid. But he did more than that. He stood there and said, I don't know who? No, I don't know who that is. And he said he used some language too in the process of that. What was he missing? What was he lacking? You see, in and of our own strength, we can never accurately represent Jesus. In our own strength, in our own ability, we can never accurately represent our Lord Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father. Because he says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. You see, the thing that redeems us, the element that redeems us back to the image and likeness of God, the thing that allows us to once again say, I am a child of God. I'm an accurate reflection. I have been created in the image and the likeness of God. I have his essence within me. I have his character within me. I have his nature within me. I know the thoughts of God, of my Father. I can accurately communicate to you. I can accurately reach out and touch you with the same power, the same authority, the same love, the same need that you have. I can fill as God would fill it. Why? Because the power of the Spirit dwells within me. We need the indwelling presence of God in our lives. It's not something that you and I can do on our own. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 25. Man, I'm running out of time. We're going to have to do this next week. Okay, Galatians 5, 16 through 25. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those are powerful words, right? But, thank God for the buts in the Bible. But the Holy Spirit produces the kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. We need the Holy Spirit. Because I guarantee you that that fruit that I just got through reading, that doesn't come out naturally. That does not come out naturally. Even when we get down to it and we say, oh, well, I have love in my heart for you, then we got to look at our motivation. Is my motivation selfish? Am I loving you because I really have a need to be loved? Am I showing love to you because I need something from you? See, the only true love, the unconditional kind, is God love. And God is the one that desires to place within our hearts his Holy Spirit, who gives us the gifts that we so desperately need. I'm going to be closing God's gift to us is that he has adopted us. The evidence of that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the very mind of God placed within us. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have access to all that God is. The chief purpose of the Holy Spirit is to produce the very nature and essence of God through us. This is called the fruit of the Spirit. It is the evidence that we are God's children. As we allow our lives to be controlled by the Spirit of God, his power begins to flow through us, bringing his kingdom to earth. He has unique ways in which his Spirit is expressed through each of us at different times in order to bring healing and freedom and encouragement, and in order to draw others into his kingdom. Simply put, as children of God, we are called to live a life filled with his presence. We are called to seek to allow him to flow through us and touch those around us. We are called to be extensions of Christ. We are called to destroy the works of darkness all around us. All of this is accomplished through one simple thing: being led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news, to bind up the brokenhearted, to bring sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are in captivity, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all those who mourn, and to bring the oil of gladness to those who weep in Zion. God desires to anoint you and I, to allow His presence to be within us in such a way that wherever we go, whoever we interact with, they are interacting with Jesus. They don't see us, they see Jesus. Jesus said very clearly, the Holy Spirit will point others to me, not to himself, to me. The Holy Spirit within us is constantly drawing and attracting people to Jesus. There was somebody somewhere that touched you. There was someone somewhere that was led by the Holy Spirit to share the good news with you. It could have been your mother, it could have been your father, it could have been a sibling, it could have been an aunt or an uncle, it could have been a grandmother, it could have been a stranger on the street, it could have been a preacher. Someone touched you with the love of Jesus. Will you let Jesus use you to touch others? The beautiful thing is, you don't have to do it in your own strength. You don't have to do it in your own power. You don't have to do it in your own authority. As a matter of fact, you can't. But you can simply trust. In closing, I'll say these remarks. My desire more than anything is not only that we recognize the importance of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the vital role that He plays, but that we develop a genuine hunger and a desire to be filled with His presence. I want us to begin to seek Him. I want us to begin to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit like we have never had before. God wants to bless us. He wants to reveal Himself to us. He wants to empower us and to impart to us all the riches of His glory. His desire is that we walk in the same authority that Jesus walked in on this earth. He wants us to be so in tune with His Spirit that whenever we go, wherever we go, His super connects with our natural. He wants to operate through us. Will you let Him have control? Will you let Him take over your eyes, your ears, your mind, your hands, your feet, your resources, your mouth? Will you let Him have control of all that you are? He wants to produce the fruit of His Spirit through you. He wants to impart His gifts to others through you. Will you stand with me this morning? If you are here this morning and you recognize that you haven't even taken the first step. You're not even in relationship with God yet. And you hear about this God that loves you, this Father that loves you, this God, this Jesus that came and died, and He redeemed you unto Himself. And you hear about how He is sitting here and He's saying, I want to make you a child, a son, a daughter. I have gifts for you. I have eternal life, but I have all of these gifts that I desire to place within your heart. And you are here this morning and you say, I need Jesus. I want to give my life, my heart to Jesus. If you've never given your life to Jesus this morning, I would ask everybody, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you've never given your heart to Jesus and you want to give Him your life today, I would ask that you would just raise your hand right where you are. Would you just slip your hand up so that we can pray with you. If you've never given your life to Jesus and you would like to do that this morning, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now we're going to do one other thing. If there's, I would hope that this would be all of us, but I want to make it specific. If you're here this morning and you say, I know that I haven't fully surrendered myself to God. I know that there are still areas in my life that I'm holding on to. I know that there are still things that I am still holding back, and I have not fully given myself completely over to God. There's still those areas in my life that are being controlled by the flesh. I still have moments of anger. I still have moments of rage. I still have these moments of fear and anxiety. I still have these areas in my life that are not being controlled by the power of the Spirit. And this morning, I am choosing to surrender those things to God. If that is you this morning, I just want you to raise your hands right where you are. We're going to pray together. Just raise both of your hands. Raise both of your hands. We're going to, this is just a sign of surrender. This is a sign of surrender. Father, say this with me. Father, I surrender all to you. Heavenly Father, I surrender all to you. I give myself completely to you. May you use me for your honor and for your glory. Holy Spirit, take complete control of my being. I choose to love you with all of me, with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, with all of my strength. It all belongs to you, Jesus. I surrender completely to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Father, I just pray that you would come and that you would fill your children with your Holy Spirit. That you would just come and that you would just touch each and every person that is here this morning. Let them know that your presence is very real in their life. Let them begin to have an awareness of the love and the joy and the peace and the gentleness and the meekness and the kindness, the faith, the temperance, Lord. Allow that to begin to come out and be expressed through their life, Lord. As they have surrendered to you, may it be so, God, that you would produce the fruits of righteousness and of peace and of joy in the Holy Ghost. We thank you, O God, for the miracle that you are doing. We thank you, O God, for the work that you are doing as we continue to surrender more of ourselves to you every day. Thank you, Lord, that you are revealing yourself more to us. In Jesus' name, can everyone say amen, amen, amen. Give the Lord a praise offering in this place. I promise you that I didn't even touch half of the sermon this morning. So there'll be, that's okay, there's another meal. We don't have to force feed it, right? Let's celebrate the birthdays this morning, the anniversaries this morning. If you have a birthday, an anniversary, if you've graduated from high school, from middle school, from college, would you just raise your hand in the place? All right, we see graduates, we see birthdays, we see anniversaries. All right, all right. Well, I tell you what, we have some special treats out in the lobby area, a little time of refreshment. Please go and greet one another, and let's celebrate one another this morning. God bless you. Have a great week. We will see you back next Sunday.